Hi, I'm Andrew Robertson, and this is Auntie Monkey, the ballooning podcast. So I've created this podcast to focus on different aspects of ballooning around the world, but more importantly, as an excuse for me to be able to have conversations with some of the most interesting and inspiring people in the ballooning community. People that I've never had a chance to sit down with and really hear their stories or understand their backgrounds or just really get into their minds and understand what drives them when it comes to the part of ballooning that they focus on. So this includes past world champions, people that have broken records, or people who have just got really inspiring stories that have driven them to enjoy ballooning but also help other people enjoy it as well. So firstly, I better apologize. This is the first podcast I've ever recorded. I'm still getting my head around some of the technology, and I'm sure that my dog will start barking in the background or cars will start beeping their horns outside. So please bear with me. Hopefully over the next few episodes, things will become a little bit more professional. And what I'm going to be doing today is really giving you some background about what Auntie Monkey is. So Auntie Monkey, as a name, has been around for nearly 25 years in ballooning now. And if you've been around the sport for a while, chances are you've come across something related to Auntie Monkey, whether it's the original magazines, whether it's the website or the social network, or now it's even the podcast. Chances are Auntie Monkey has crossed your path at some point. So what I'm going to do today is give you a bit of a history lesson of why we created Auntie Monkey and how it's changed over the years. And even though the format of Auntie Monkey has changed, some of the underlying values really have not, because the thing that drove us to create Auntie Monkey originally is very much the same reason why we did all the things that we have done over the years and also why I've created this podcast. So let's get into it. Let me tell you a little bit about the history of Auntie Monkey. And it really all started in the early 1990s, around 1993, 94, when at the time in Australia, where I'm obviously based, was a very political time in ballooning. There was a lot of feuds between balloonists. There were people suing each other for various reasons. There was a large division between private and commercial ballooning at the time. So there was a lot going on that was fairly negative, that was kind of bringing the fun out of the sport. And at that time, there was a group of us that we could call the Ballooning Youth Group or the Second Generation Balloonists, a group of people that were between the ages of maybe 16 and 21 that had been brought up in the sport of ballooning. And this group were getting pretty fed up with the older generation ruining all the fun of the sport that they had been brought up with and really enjoyed. And I remember that my sister Claire and I, were sitting around at the kitchen table one day just after we'd been at a Easter ballooning event, kind of thinking about what we could do to start kind of bringing that fun back into the sport, but also a way of extending the fun that the young balloonists that had been having at that ballooning event into our day-to-day lives. So what we did was we came up with the concept of creating a balloon fanzine. And if anyone was around in the 1990s, before the age of the internet and before the age of Facebook and Instagram, a fanzine was the way that people with common interests were able to communicate with each other. So whether it was music or movies or, in this case, ballooning, a fanzine was a sort of short-form magazine or newsletter that people from all over the place could contribute articles and write stories and create jokes and draw comics and have them published and shared amongst that small community. So in a way, it was a paper format of a social network. So Claire and I decided we would create this ballooning fanzine. And the first challenge was to come up with an interesting name for it. At the time, all the ballooning magazines, whether they were from newsletters for the federations or actual magazines, all had pretty boring names. I mean, the magazine Ballooning stands out as probably the most unimaginative name. So we decided that we had to come up with something interesting. And we were playing around with all sorts of names, like things like the Tree Watchers Digest or Pie Balls, various names like that. But we decided to settle on the name Auntie Monkey. And as obscure as that sounds, it was actually a name or a term that had been floating around in our family for many years. And I'm not going to tell you what it is or what it means. It is semi-related to ballooning, but it's a name that we decided to use because it was obscure enough that would create interest and something that we could certainly own as a young group of balloonists. The meaning of that name is known by a very small group of people, and they've all been sworn to secrecy. So if you do know what the name means, please, again, keep it to yourselves, because we like to keep the mystery of what Auntie Monkey or who Auntie Monkey actually is. So this fanzine, the first issue that we published was, and I'm looking at it right in front of me right now, was a very rough 4-page badly photocopied newsletter that we produced on our very early word processing software. And we used to sneak into our dad's office after hours and photocopy the various copies that we would send out to our distribution list. And the distribution list at the time for the first issue was about 15 or 20 people. But over the 4 years that we created Auntie Monkey and the 15 or so issues, by the end of the magazine or fanzine's life, we had about 250 subscribers, and not only young people, but a lot of those people that originally were creating a lot of the politics were also on board, because it was kind of recognized as the only fun publication out there that was really focusing on ballooning as a sport rather than a political agenda. So what I thought I'd do is to give you a bit of a feel for what the meaning or the values behind Auntie Monkey are, or were at the time but still are, I thought I'd read you the first few paragraphs from the first editorial from that first issue. So we're talking autumn 1994, so around maybe April 1994. And let me read you the editorial, which I'm pretty sure was written by either myself or Claire or both of us. But I remember distinctly sitting at that kitchen table, stringing together these words and what we never knew at the time would become such a long-standing movement in terms of Auntie Monkey. So I quote, "Greetings. You can take that curious yet slightly confused expression off your face now. The one which you acquired as soon as you picked up this envelope. Yes, this is for you. It wasn't a mistake on Australia Post's behalf. Let us explain what Auntie Monkey really is. Over the years, we have experienced a great deal through this wonderful sport of ballooning. We have seen beautiful balloons, new places, and best of all, we have met a wide range of people. We all know that ballooning is special. Accept it. We are special. Maybe a little strange, but definitely special. People look up to balloonists, literally. What we are trying to get at is that the fact is that we are part of a community with a very unique interest. The love of waking up at stupid hours in the morning, going out into paddocks in the freezing cold, just to end up staring at the tops of trees. The actual ballooning part was only adopted so we didn't look like idiots, and we were actually meant to be staring at trees for a reason. One problem we face is the vast size of the continent that we live on. Auntie Monkey is going to break down the distance barrier and provide a way for young balloonists to communicate with each other, to find out what is happening in different states, and also to encourage young people to get involved in this sport." So there you can sort of hear from the first few paragraphs of that first issue, it was all about trying to bring the fun back into the sport, but to create a way of communicating amongst, at the time, young balloonists. But obviously all those young ones have now grown up. But the idea is still the same, and it's always been the same through the Auntie Monkey world. It's all about communicating between balloonists breaking down those distance barriers, but essentially creating, and in this case, it was really a print version of a social network. So, as I mentioned, we created this first issue, and I'm looking at it now, and I'll take some photos of this original issue and some of the early ones and add them to the podcast notes. So if you go to auntiemonkey.com and find the link to this particular episode, episode one, you'll be able to see some of the content of the original publication. It's quite funny looking at it though, because I remember we had this really crappy word processing software and we had to squeeze all the content to fit it onto the pages. And when we squeezed it, it didn't resize any of the words. It just started truncating it. So if you read some of the articles, you'll see there's just random words missing or random words appear that make absolutely no sense. But that was really part of the fun of it all. It really just focused on having a lot of fun and getting it out to everybody in a way that people can enjoy. So, as I mentioned earlier, we had about 15 issues of the original Auntie Monkey, but then we decided that it was time to wrap it up. At the time, we were all just trying to finish our university degrees. Life was getting pretty busy, and we decided it was time to bring it all to an end. But little did we know that the Auntie Monkey ethos would continue with us for many years. And over the years, I kind of always toyed with the idea of creating something new under the same Auntie Monkey banner. And it wasn't until the internet and social networking came along that I decided to do something with it. So before Facebook had got really popular, and just as social networks were coming along, I was toying with the idea of creating a social network for balloonists. So what we had kind of done as a print format in the early days in the fanzine, I thought I could do something similar in a social network online format. So with a bit of help from my brother-in-law, I created Auntie Monkey the Balloon Network, which was a social network that anybody could sign up for and become members. And it was essentially a website that allowed people to share their stories, their conversations, their photos, their videos. Really, it was like Facebook, but purely for balloonists. And that actually became a lot more successful than I had ever intended. Again, it was sort of put out there as an experiment. And eventually what happened was we ended up with about 2,500 subscribers or members of the Auntie Monkey network that were all providing a lot of content and having a lot of conversations. And that was very exciting. I think at the end we ended up with over 40,000 photos, ballooning photos uploaded onto the site. There was 3,000 or 4,000 videos there. There were all sorts of stories and content. But more importantly, it was a great way for people to make friends. I still have some very close friends overseas that I met through Auntie Monkey. We heard stories over and over of people creating friendships or reuniting existing or old friendships through the means of this social network. So it was really encouraging to see that, again, this Auntie Monkey idea could be brought to a more global stage and allow people globally to become friends and really start communicating and sharing the love of ballooning. One of my favourite things that came out of Auntie Monkey was when I found out one day that the Albuquerque event were going to have an Auntie Monkey tailgating party. So an event on the other side of the world that I had never actually been to. There was a whole group of people from the website that got together one morning and had a tailgating party of people that were members of the Auntie Monkey website. So it just showed how we could have people from all around the world getting together with a common interest, which was not only ballooning, but also was the Auntie Monkey website. So if we fast forward a couple of years, I think that we launched the website originally in around 2005. And then probably about 4 years later, when Facebook really started kicking off, we looked at wrapping up the website as well. what we found was that people were starting to use Facebook more as their default form of communication, and there was less and less content being added to the actual website. Plus, there was a lot of time spent moderating spammers and random Filipino people trying to join the club and sending out somewhat inappropriate messages. So we decided it was probably a good time to call it quits and let Auntie Monkey go back into the woods and disappear, knowing that, again, it would probably pop up in some format at a later stage. And I guess that's where we come to today, is it is the new reincarnation of Auntie Monkey, and we're bringing it back to life, but this time it's in a new medium in terms of a podcast. But as you kind of through this episode, you've sort of heard that there's still the underlying idea is all about communicating amongst balloonists, sharing the fun and the interest of the sport, and having Auntie Monkey as a medium for encouraging people to get more involved in the sport or just get interested in other aspects that they may not have ever thought about doing. So that's probably enough for today. As I said, the upcoming podcasts will be less about me talking and more about conversations with some of these really exciting guests that I've got lined up. So please stay interested, please subscribe, and let me know if you also have any topics or people that you'd like me to get in touch with to include in this podcast. If you go to auntiemonkey.com, that's where I'm going to include all the episode notes. I'm going to include, as I said before, some of the early Auntie Monkey magazines. But also in there, you can get in touch with me and let me know if there's any topics or people you'd like me to talk to, and I can certainly make those arrangements. I've already created the long list of people that I have sort of dreams about having conversations with. Some people I know, some people I don't. But hopefully over the next, you know, series of episodes, we'll be able to get into some really interesting conversations with these people. Anyway, that's enough for me. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy Auntie Monkey going forward. Thanks.